Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. You can find the show at Championship Pod on Twitter. I'm Lewis Shackshaft. Today I'm joined by Jake Jackman and Lewis Hobbs. Plenty to talk about as ever. Let's get straight into it. Jake, as usual, you never miss a show these days. So do you want to take us through the results as you always do from the weekend?
Yeah, it does feel like it. I'm not missing a show, Louis. And obviously, what you want on a Championship podcast is a Newcastle support. So let's just hit these results. slightly fewer games than normal because of the FA Cup. But starting off at lunchtime, obviously the big game. Sheffield United going away to Leeds and a top-of-the-table clash winning 1-0. Leeds having a player sent off, which amusingly led to Pontus Janssen going in goal. I'm sure we'll come on to that one later. Preston getting a late goal to win at Birmingham to keep their playoff hopes alive. Aston Villa picking up their sort of form going into the last few games, beating Middlesbrough in a playoff clash 3-0 in what was a comfortable win. Brentford, normally good at home, but losing 1-0 to West Brom, who are sort of picking up their form after the sacking their manager.
Yep.
Hull drawing 2-2 with QPR. Ipswich drawing 1-0 with Nottingham Forest. Rotherham losing at home to Norwich 2-1, which is quite a big win for Norwich considering Rotherham are quite good at home, or at least better than they are away. Sheffield Wednesday keeping their slight playoff hopes alive, winning 4-2 against Blackburn. Stoke drawing 0-0 with Reading, and Wigan winning 5-2 against Bolton.
Some great results as ever. Like I say this every week, but what I want to do is come to you first, Lewis. And as you're a Sheffield United fan, we all know what you did at the weekend. So if you can exclude that fixture for us, if you don't mind, and tell us what your biggest win or biggest surprise from the weekend was.
Yeah, obviously, I'd like to just talk about the weekend for an hour, if that were possible, but I've got to talk
We'll come on to it. We'll come on to it for sure.
Yeah. I mean, well, talking about United, I've actually got Wednesday's victory over Blackburn down, not as as a surprise victory, but as an outstanding victory by all. Steve Bruce coming in charge at Wednesday. I don't know what your opinions were on that when he first joined, but, I mean, he's doing a fantastic job so far.
Yeah.
And from a sinking ship, what it seemed like at the start of the season, he's now, what, got you 2 points away from the playoffs, which just seems ridiculous, especially from a United perspective, seeing as we've been marching on all season on how far ahead we are of you lot. And now the gap isn't that big. I mean, Barry Bannon was absolutely outstanding against Blackburn. Was it at two definite assists? But I mean, the offer
that's right
created from Bannon, so it should really be going down as three assists. And he's coming to a spark of form. So now it's getting a bit harder on Twitter when I'm battling against Wednesday fans trying to say how much John Fleck is better than him. I've actually now got to provide some statistics on it because Barry Bannon's actually playing really well. But another game, which I'm sure you guys are going to go on to, is, and I won't talk too much about, Villa's 3-0 win against Borough. I'm not sure what's happening up at Middlesbrough, should I say, from me. Tony Pulis seems to be losing a bit of the dressing room with how they're playing as of late. And, I mean, if they want to secure a playoff position, losing 3-0 against Villa isn't the right way to go about it. The best defence in the league and conceding three goals. I mean, John McGinn and Jack Grealish were both outstanding and they seem to really gelling together in midfield. But, I don't know how Middlesbrough are going to get on and whether they might even drop out of the playoffs if they carry on.
Yeah, you're right there. It's a funny one, actually. I saw a statistic that Aston Villa have scored more goals at home this season than Borough have combined home and away. And that just goes to show, obviously, in that game with Villa winning 3-0, one of the biggest wins for me this weekend also. A fantastic victory for them, which puts them, obviously, into the playoff spots now. And I'm glad you mentioned Sheffield Wednesday, actually, not only because we got the victory against Blackburn, like you say, which didn't come as a surprise as such. It's just we're one of the form teams in the Championship with Sheffield United, which we'll come on to, with Preston and with Norwich City as well. So, like you say, Steve Bruce doing a fantastic job so far. Any other games, we'll come to you, Jake, that you'd like to mention at all from the weekend?
Yeah, I think the main ones have already been picked up on, obviously, that Sheffield United win, which we'll come on to later. I think Wigan winning 5-2 at home is quite a big win. Obviously, beating Bolton is to be expected. Bolton are an absolute shambles with everything going on there off the field. Did get a win a couple of weeks ago, but yeah, they look dead and buried, don't they, really? And for Wigan, if they hadn't have won, they'd have, you know, they were joint on points with Rotherham. Pressure was building, and to win in the way they did, five goals builds a lot of confidence. And they've got a lot of good players there, and I think that should, you know, start them off on a surge to survival. Not that we can really call it a surge, but I think they should have, you know, more than Reading and Rotherham in particular. So I think that was a big win for them, mainly for confidence, because, you know, beating Bolton is one thing, but to score five goals is massive, and I think that'll give them a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not too many other big results. I guess you could pick out Hull dropping points against QPR, you know, going 2-0 up as a bit of a surprise, but neither team are likely to do anything this season now, I don't think. So, it was a good weekend, but I think that the main story is obviously coming from the Aston Villa game and the Leeds game, which we're going to come on to a little bit more.
Yeah, you're quite right. The only other game I'd like to pick out just because of the circumstances was obviously Preston's victory, what, like I said, keeps them one of the form teams in the table. And again, they're only, the level on points with Aston Villa, it's just down to goal difference. Who, you know, Villa have got a superior goal difference there. But yeah, Maguire with the 94th minute winner. So that keeps them, like I say, on a fine run of form. And obviously one of the dark horses, and keeps your bet alive, Jake, from weeks and weeks ago. I think it was November when you placed that bet that they could potentially get in the playoffs. So yes, let's come on to the Leeds United, Sheffield United game, straight into the topics. What's your post-match thoughts, Lewis? And what influence did this game have on the automatic promotion spots?
Yeah, I mean, as you can imagine, absolutely ecstatic. I did think we had enough to go to Elland Road and beat them. I think the reverse fixture at Bramall Lane was really, really harsh. We definitely deserved a draw from the game, but obviously, if you remember, Dean Henderson had an absolute mare in goal and passed it straight to the opposition, so I'd say Leeds were obviously the favourites going into the game, being at home. But like you said, we was the informed team. Going into the game, we unbeaten in nine, hadn't conceded in six. And we've just won up that, and now we're unbeaten in 10 and haven't conceded in seven games.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's fantastic, that. Fantastic return.
And to be fair, Chris Wildock couldn't have put it better in the post-match interview. I wouldn't be able to word it better myself. He said that during his time in the Championship with Sheffield United, we've played fantastically in lost games, we've played fantastically in drawn games, but we've never played poorly. I'm not saying we played poorly, but we've never been the second best team on the pitch and come out with all 3 points, especially with the magnitude of the game. On an attacking front, Leeds were the better team, but at the end of the day, it's what you do with the ball, and Leeds didn't have a single shot on target. I can't say, I don't have enough praise in the world for John Egan, Jack O'Connell and Martin Craner. All three of them in this recent run of form have been fantastic. Obviously, Chris Basham playing a big part of that. But, I mean, the amazing thing about the game is stood in the away end at Elland Road, and at half-time, we were all moaning and groaning. Why didn't Basham shoot in the 45th minute? He hadn't really been part of the game. He was kind of thrown into midfield out of position, trying to take up the scraps within midfield, and he was really lost. And everyone around me, we were screaming and shouting at each other, why is Basham still on this field? Basham needs to go. And then we come out second half, and obviously he's the match winner. For a right-sided centre-half to be our second furthest forward on the pitch, I don't know if you saw the heat map of the game, but it was only Billy Sharp in the game who was further up the pitch than him for the majority of the game. Even David McGoldrick dropped deeper than what Basham did for the majority of the game, which is outstanding. But yeah, he certainly spurred us on to the victory, and with him being our longest serving player as of now, the squad now, it's a nice touch for him. Result of the game, it now puts us in front. And I mean, through previous results, like when we dropped points, I mean, we didn't, the 3-3 at Aston Villa, points like that, we should have never dropped. And I mean, we've turned it around, and now we obviously haven't conceded since that game, but we should have been on the front foot. We should have been points in front of Leeds, and now we've took that. We've capitalised on the opportunity which Leeds gave us, and now it's in our hands. We've got the squad depth for it, and I genuinely believe if you're comparing us and Leeds, because I do think Norwich are probably going to go and run away with the title with the football that they're playing. I can't see them dropping many points. But,
so do you think that Sheffield United will finish second now then, Lewis?
I mean, there's still 8 games to go, and I won't disrespect any of the opposition. We've still got to play, obviously, Forest, Preston, Bristol. But our hardest run of the season is out of the way now, and with how we're playing our football at this moment in time and with the squad depth we have, the likes of Martin Craney, who 10 games ago, if you would have said to me, oh, Martin Craney is going to be one of your outstanding performers come the end of the season, I would have laughed at you. And he's come in following Basham's injury, and he's been outstanding defensively, one of our consistent performers. And he's now, Chris Basham can't take him out of the team. He's one of those names that you probably don't want in a top two championship team, but he consistently performs. So Chris Wilder, it'd be unfair to drop him. I do think, I am really positive now, and I do think we've got what it takes to finish second.
Yeah, I must admit, mate, you keep surprising even me every week, because I've always thought this season that United would do what they did last season and eventually drop off. And like you just said, there's 8 games remaining and they're sat second, so they've got every opportunity. I'd like to come to you, though.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jake, okay, as a neutral, what's your thoughts on Sheffield United and your reaction to their victory against Leeds?
Yeah, I'm glad Lewis picked up on Basham, because I thought he had quite a poor game as well up until, you know, that latter part of the second half. Obviously, Leeds starting with him scoring the goal, I thought playing him in midfield was a bit of a risk, and I didn't think he looked great there. Looked a bit lost in the middle of the park, I thought, and obviously it turned out him getting the winning goal, but it could have easily have gone the other way as well. I thought Sheffield United did manage the game well. It's always difficult to get to Elland Road. They were going to be on the back foot for much of it. But the thing we've seen with Leeds time and time again this season, if you soak up their pressure and stay in the game, there will be chances because they do make mistakes at the back. And they made two big ones at the weekend, obviously. The error for the goal from Cooper, then going on to Kessié getting sent off, which, you know, sort of did, you know, stop any sort of... It killed the game a little bit, that did. And if that didn't just stopped the flow of the game, I thought, because they were sort of coming back into it. And I know they had one big chance, I can't remember who it was, but they did it just before Kessié got sent off. But it was a good game, and I thought Sheffield United did exactly what you need to do. This is the type of game that when you're going into the running against one of your rivals, you don't want to lose it, and you want to, and the key way to do that is keep it tight and look to take your chance when it came, and they did that. And you know, a few weeks ago against Norwich, they played very well and were unlucky not to win there. So it does seem in these big games that Wilder is showing his worth and showing that he can mix it with the top managers in the league, because Bielsa is obviously very well respected across Europe. Voted in, I think it was France Football's top 100 managers of all time this past week, so he's obviously got
that's right.
Good calibre. So, it was a really good win, but I think I wouldn't go as far to say I think Norwich are completely out of it. Yeah, I think we've got to the point now where, you know, with 8 games to go, it's all about bottle and it's all about whether the players can manage that expectation. And it's one thing being team in third chasing that top two, and it's another thing going in as that team in second and sort of leading the way from Leeds. I think Leeds are going to be in the top two again this season. I don't think it's going to stay as it is, but that's not to say that Sheffield United are not going to get promoted. I just think there's more twists and turns in this race, and it's very difficult to call. I'd still give Leeds a slight edge, but looking at the fixtures, it's very difficult. They've all got tricky games at this point of the season. Any game is tricky. When Newcastle were, you know, trying to get promoted from this league, we went away to Blackburn, who were relegated, and I think we lost there. And we lost a couple of games that we perhaps shouldn't have done, so it can happen. Obviously Brighton as well, that they towards the end of the season that they needed, you know, a point to get the title, and then they went, you know, lost three games in a row. It's difficult to predict, because the pressure just adds another dimension. It hasn't previously been there, so we don't know how any of these teams are going to deal with it. The one thing I would say is that Sheffield United, a lot of these players got promoted from League One, so they know what's required, although that wasn't quite as tight. It was quite easy towards the run-in. They were already pretty much there. But they've got that experience and get promoted, so I think that will give them a bit of an advantage. But looking at their fixtures, you know, Bristol City at home, difficult game, although Bristol City is somewhat on the slide. Preston away, that's a very difficult game. Birmingham away, it is tough. Hull away, Hull away is one of those fixtures that is very difficult, because they score a lot of goals at home, and that will be a test. They've got some tricky games, but Leeds have also got to play Preston away, Birmingham away, Brentford away. There's Aston Villa at home, you wouldn't want to play them. And Norwich as well, they've got a few difficult games. So it's very difficult to call. I think all three teams are still in the race. I wouldn't completely write Norwich off yet, although they are big favourites to go up. But yeah, I think there'll be changes. But I think I would give Sheffield United the advantage purely, you know, obviously they're in second place. But I just think that experience they've had in League One would be very important. But I don't think the possession is going to stay the same, because I do think Leeds will be back in that top two at some point. Whether they finish there is obviously another question. But one question I'd just like to throw to Lewis quickly is, you know, there's three teams at the top now. It's going to be two of those three. Do you fear if you miss out on those that you lose all the momentum going into the playoffs? Because that's something that I would be worried about, and we've seen in the past. You know, Brighton the year before, they went up, they were so close and got knocked out in the semi-finals. It does seem to be that team in third doesn't often go up. So I just want to know your thoughts on that, really.
I'm sure Louis will be aware of this stat, but Sheffield United are actually we have the worst record in playoffs ever in the history of our club. We've had 7 playoff campaigns and never won one. So looking on historical events, if we finish third, we're probably not going to go up. And I mean, I would back this team. I back Wilder. And from a footballing perspective, I believe whether it's Norwich, Sheffield United or Leeds, barring a miracle that someone else now catches us three, I believe whichever of those three drops into the playoffs will go on to win. But yeah, if I really, I can't even think about dropping into the playoffs, if I'm being honest to you. The only football match I've ever cried at, a fun fact for you, is against Huddersfield at Wembley. So I really don't want to relive those memories. But I would back this team, and I would back Wilder as a manager to be able to keep the bottle of the players. And even if we did have a slight slip away, like we've seen against, like at Villa Park, if something like that does happen, if it would happen at the last game of the season, I would back Wilder to be able to pick up the players, because I think we've got a lot of leaders in there. I mean, I can't think to how crucial Ollie Norwood's been in the change room this season. Obviously, back-to-back promotions with two different clubs. If he goes up with us this year, this will be the back-to-back-to-back promotion he's got to the Premier League. And it's his third different club. So we've got the players in there. Billy Sharp, obviously, born leader and born blade. So he should help us in that. But I dread to think if it does come around, but I would back the Blades to go up regardless.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. There's certainly going to be twists and turns like we've talked about. And whoever does come third will, I believe, you know, be firm favourites for the playoffs. But as we know, we talk about the playoffs are a lottery. So God knows who's going to go up. I mean, we all know that from fifth right down to about 14th at the minute, there's teams fighting for those positions. So we're going to come on to that into the topics. But quickly, if you don't mind, we're just going to name a couple of standout players from this week with all the games covered now. So I'll come to you quickly, Jake, first. Any players that you just want to name that stand out?
Yeah, I think Jack Grealish was very good again. I think he's the player that makes Villa tick, and now he's back in the team. They're looking like a real force, and they're the one team I wouldn't want to play at this point in time, which is unfortunate for, I think, Norwich, who have got them to come at some point, so that could potentially play into that. But no, he was very good again, I think going back to the whole game, they didn't win, but Jarrod Bowen, obviously another good performance from him, two goals, and I think that he is going to be playing Premier League football next season, even if Hull are not, which looks like it's going to be very difficult for them to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So I think he's obviously one of the stars of the season, and he had a very good game again, so they're the two for me that stood out.
What about you, Lewis? Any other players you want to name?
Yeah, I've obviously said John McGinn previously. I think he's the man in the team that really does bring Jack Grealish out. He gives Jack Grealish the freedom to go and attack. Not saying John McGinn isn't good on the front foot, but he's also amazing at just picking out those grindy passes. Very similar to John Fleck in a way, how John Fleck lets Ollie Norwood dictate the game. But I think, yeah, John McGinn, more so for Villa. And then, yeah, I'll just reiterate back at how good Martin Craney and Jack O'Connell was against Leeds. The amount of forward passes that you're having to deal with, having Hernandez, Bamford, etc. for Leeds, constantly driving Clich. We just sank the pressure, and Martin Craney, experienced head, Jack O'Connell, John Egan, I don't think he missed a header all game. And that's why we're in this position now, because of those three players.
Yeah, definitely. You can always name a lot of players when it comes to standout player. We've already mentioned Bannon, so I'm not going to touch upon him. But one player that I would like to say that stands out for me every week at the minute, despite them losing, is actually Sami Ajayi at Rotherham. He just seems to score every week at the minute. And without him scoring the goals, I think, you know, Rotherham could be somewhere similar to where Ipswich are at the minute. And they're just keeping them afloat and giving them the possibility of staying up this season, whether or not they do. But let's move on to the next topic. We've kind of touched on it a little bit already, and it's all about your guys' predictions. So with the race for the playoffs hotting up, like I've mentioned, there's 8 or 9 teams potentially could finish in there yet. But what two teams, if you were to predict now, would you predict to be playing in the playoff final? We'll come to you, Jake.
Yeah, that's a very difficult question. I'm not even certain he's going to be in the playoffs, Louis, let alone he's going to get to the final. One thing I will say is I think Aston Villa will be in that playoff final again. I just think everything's clicking for them at the right time. A few weeks ago, they couldn't beat anybody except Ipswich. I think they went on a run of like not 8 or 9 games where they'd only beaten Ipswich, but now they've won 4 on the bounce, beaten some very good teams in that, Derby, Middlesbrough, of Derby as well, that big win against Frank Lampard's team. So they are really clicking into form, and they look like, you know, they've got goals, they've had goals all year. Tammy Abraham's probably the best goal scorer in the division if you look at goals per minute and you know, the chance he's had. That could normally go down without a contention, but Billy Sharp as well is up there. But I just think Tammy Abraham is just what he's done in, you know, a shorter amount of time is. It's been very impressive, and if they keep, you know,
I'd go for Pookie. So we've all got a different opinion there.
There we go. But no, I think Aston Villa will be in that playoff final. I'd like to see Preston make the playoffs at minimum, purely obviously because I predicted them to in November when they were down in 20th. So the fact they're now at 7th, they've been doing very well. But I just think it's all a little bit tight with them at the moment. They're not convincing me as much, despite their recent good form. But I'm not surprised that they're in the picture, because I thought this is where they probably should be. But it's probably going to be, I think, West Brom. You know, I think it's going to be West Brom, Aston Villa. I don't think the team that misses out on top two will make the will go up. I just think it's too much emotionally invested, and it can be difficult to bounce back from it. Obviously, all three of those would hope that they would, but it's difficult. So I think it's going to be two teams that are not currently in that picture for the top two. So yeah, I Aston Villa and West Brom are two for me. I just think West Brom got a lot of good players, and I think the gamble they've taken on Darren Moore seems to be paying off a little bit. They've had a couple of wins. Don't think it's been that convincing by any stretch, but you know, they've just got the quality. And if they do make an appointment, which they probably should, because I don't think they should entrust the caretaker to take this on to potentially Wembley. If they make a good appointment, I think they're going to finish the season strongly. So they're the two for me that I just think they're going to be the two form teams going into it. So
yeah, well, I'll follow on from that, because I've got down Aston Villa and West Brom as well. I believe that those two could be in the playoff final this season, so I'm not going to go into more detail because you've done so already, but for the same reasons that, yes, West Brom are going to have a new manager, that'll be interesting, and then obviously Villa, I think, are just going to hit form at the right time, so I can see those two in the final at present. Quick question for you though, Jake, if Preston were to finish in the playoffs, how much are you due to win on that?
Yeah, I think it was £75 off a fiver, so it's not even that much considering they're 20th. But I had to put something on it because I put that big prediction out there. So, but no, they're doing very well, aren't they?
It's a few shandies and apple sours.
It is, exactly, Louis. You might tipple.
Yeah. We'll come to you then, Louis. This will be interesting. So if you were to predict two playoff finalists at the moment, who would you go for?
Yeah, well, I've got to be confident, and I can't say it. I'm not going to say the Blades, because obviously we'll have finished second by then. But I will go with Leeds. Like I said, I think whoever does finish third will go on to win the playoffs. I know the amount of pressure which builds onto that third place team, especially with it being a three-horse race, but just I can't look at it from anything else than just a proper footballing standpoint. Rich, Blades and Leeds, they're the three best footballing teams in the league. All three play fantastic stuff, and I think they all deserve to go up. West Brom, I don't agree with. I actually think sacking Darren Moore was a really bad decision, and I don't know whether he lost the dressing room, or I know they had a terrible home record, which no one ever wants, but is it really a smart move to sack your manager with 10 games to go when you're still in the playoff race? I don't know how West Brom fans are feeling personally, but if that happened to my club, I think I wouldn't be very happy, especially with it just being such a short amount of time. But I can definitely agree with the Aston Villa. Dean Smith really seems to have got them ticking as of late. And I'll go back to the 3-3 against us. I think a team like that, that can be down at the 60th minute 3-0, but still have that oomph and have that power behind them and the commitment to still chase the game. And excluding that two of the goals were major goalkeeping errors, you have to have that commitment and that enthusiasm to pounce on errors. And I think they've just got the grit and determination to get the far. And if there was any team to knock the third place at Wembley, I think it would be Villa.
Yeah, so we all agree on Villa then. I think, yeah, like I say, they've hit form at the right time under Dean Smith as well. And they've also got the players and, you know, the work ethic that Lewis has discussed there. So coming on to the next topic, which is quite an interesting one. So I want you to exclude all loan signings in the Championship now and tell me who you think is the highest valued player in the Championship. Not the best or, you know, anything like that. Who you think is the highest valued player? If a team was to come in the summer and pay a fee, who would bring home the most money, if you like? So I'll come to you, Jake.
There's a few on this one. I think that there's one very obvious player that I'm sure we'll all agree on, Jack Grealish, purely because the money's already been put up for him, and we know that there's teams willing to spend it. So I think he's the most valuable player in this division. But there's a few others. I think at Brentford, they're going to get another nice payday at some point this summer. Benrahma, Watkins and Morpay could all go for 10 million plus, 50 million plus even, given the modern market. Bradley Dack, I think, could go for a lot. And Jarrod Bowen, if Hull weren't such a selling club, he'd probably go for a bit, but I'm sure a club will get a bargain on him this summer. But they're the ones that jump out for me without really looking in depth into the league and valuation and things like that. But I think Jack Grealish is just the outstanding one. I think he'd go for a lot of money tomorrow.
Yeah, he's at the top of my list. I've got down Dak, Jarrod Bowen as well, Mopay, all young players, all English as well, except for Mopay, obviously. I've got Dwight Gayle on there also. We know what kind of money he's worth in the Championship. The only problem is he's reaching that. He's pushing 30 now. He's 29 and he's fantastic
at
this level.
He's a loan player, Louis. Come on. I thought we weren't doing loan players.
Oh, yeah. you're quite right. So let's forget that sentence. But for me, yeah, Grealish is obviously top of that list. So, you know, 23 years of age. And like you say, he's been linked with Spurs, etc., which is, you know, he's probably going to fetch around 30, 35 million pounds. And eventually when he does play in the Premier League, which, you know, I believe will come in time, he may end up in the England squad. So I'd like to know, Lewis, have any other players that you'd like to mention, or do you agree with us?
Yeah, I totally agree. Jack Grealish at the top of the list. One player I'm not sure if you've both got down, but is second on my list, is Shea Adams.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, former Blade. Really didn't like him at the Lane, actually, but he's turned into a top-end striker. He's got it all, young, English, pace and powerful. But I've got to throw in a little bit of bias and also just look outside of forwards. I think Jack O'Connell is probably should be the highest valued, not non-forward, if you will, being 24, English, just a massive brick wall. I think the entire bottom half, maybe even bottom 12 of the Premier League at this current time, he fits straight into their system. And I think if we weren't to get promoted with debt, we're easily getting 15 to 20 million for him.
And another one I'd like to to pick out from the defensive point of view, I agree on O'Connell, he'd go for a lot of money. Wasn't really thinking defenders, but with that comment, it's made me think of another player, and that would be Jaden Bogle. I think he's had a good season with Derby, 18 years old, played 30 games in the Championship. That's, you know, no mean feat at that age, and I think he's shown a lot of potential, and I think if he went tomorrow, he'd probably go for eight figures, which, you know, would be a fair price, I think.
Yeah. Max Aarons and James at Norwich.
Yeah, as well. There's a lot of players in the Championship. For those teams that don't go up, there's a lot of talent to be picked at. You know, a lot of those promoted clubs as well will probably come for some of those playoffs players, because Cardiff have shown that you can compete with, you know, players from the Championship. So I think some of those will be picked up.
Yeah, it's interesting as well that most players that we name that are valued the most are English. And it's strange that, isn't it, that, you know, English players are always valued more. If Grealish wasn't English, would he be worth 30, 40 million? No, probably not. He'd probably be worth about 15, 20. And, you know, another, you know, we can go on forever. I could be biased and probably say, you know, Adam Reach would probably be worth 12 to 15 million now. But I think if we all agree on that, it's probably Grealish what does top that list. But that takes us nicely into previews and predictions. We've obviously got an international break, so we are jumping the gun a little bit. I've got to go right to Friday the 29th to the next game in the Championship, which is West Brom versus Birmingham. So another derby. But I'll come to you, Lewis. What's your prediction for that one?
I think it might all be down to whether West Brom have got a new boss. I mean, Birmingham in derbies in recent years haven't been very good, shall we say. I know they haven't picked up a league victory against Villa in a number of years. I think it's the same with West Brom. But I do... I think a team, when it's a derby day, like the old cliche, all forms out of the window. But Birmingham are in desperate need for points. And obviously with this 12-point deduction potentially happening, that only leaves them 2 points above relegation. Yeah. So they're going to have to be worried, because whether it happens this season or next season, they're in trouble. It's the transfer happened this year, so you'd presume, unless it was another West Ham Tevez saga, which I won't go into, but you'll presume the points will be deducted in the season that it occurs. So, yeah, I think whether West Brom get a new boss, I think Birmingham will be well up for it. And if West Brom haven't got a new boss to spur the players on, I think Birmingham might. They'll definitely snatch some points. Whether it'll be a win, I'll just go for, keep saying, like a 1-1 draw.
Okay, I'm going to slightly disagree, because I think West Brom are going to win this quite comfortably. I think the international break will do them good. Obviously, they had the dip under Moore. They're freshening things up. Like I say, a couple of weeks off and readjustments might just see them hit a bit of decent form, which they obviously need to ensure a playoff spot. They should obviously finish in the playoff spots, but they need to, you know, mathematically get in there. So I'm going to predict 2-0. Any other predictions, Jake, regarding that?
No, I think it's going to be a West Brom win, depending, you know, what happens over the next couple of weeks. I think Birmingham are likely to get that point deduction. I think that seems looking like more likely and likely by the day. But, you know, it just makes their season a little bit more interesting. They've lost four on the bounce, probably, you know, going into you know, nothingness for the rest of the season. The playoffs look a bit long for them. But I don't think they'd go down even if they got those 12 points taken off. So, you know, it could give them a little bit. Bad news could, you know, provoke a little bit of fight back from Birmingham, I think. So it'd be an interesting one. So, yeah, I'm going to go 2-1.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it's going to be a close game, but I think West Brom will just shade it.
Yeah, and just so you know, like I said, that's on Friday the 29th. That's an 8 o'clock kickoff. But moving into the Saturday, big games again. So we'll come to you, Lewis, because Sheffield United are at home to Bristol City. 3 o'clock kickoff. What's your prediction for this one?
Yeah, again, we're in the informed team, Bristol not so. I think in the past three games, have they only got 2 points? I know they drew to Preston, lost.
Yeah, 2 points in four games, actually, yeah.
Is it four? So, yeah, where obviously we haven't conceded in nearly 10 hours of football, so we should be on the front foot. with them being in a bit of a form, I presume and I hope we can continue going up, coming from the game against Leeds. And now the boys, apart from the number that are on international duty, are training in Valencia. So, but I saw an Instagram post today, and it was actually raining, and it looked a bit better in Yorkshire than it did in Valencia. So maybe they won't be spurred on as they should be, but it should be a comfortable victory for us. I'll go 2-0 Blades.
Yeah, I think so as well. I just correct myself. It's actually 2 points out of 5 games for Bristol City now, so it's worse than we thought. But yes, I'm going to agree with you, Lewis. Sheffield United, obviously, just, as we know, up there for the right reasons. One of the form teams. 2-1, I'm predicting to Sheffield United. Jake, what's your prediction?
Yeah, if it was the Ashton game, it might be a slightly different story, but I can't see past Sheffield United. I think it's going to be 2-0.
Fair enough. We all agree with that one. Final game we're going to predict again on the Saturday, but this one's the 5:30 kickoff. Huge game again at the top, which is Middlesbrough versus Norwich. We'll come to you again, Lewis, for prediction on this one.
Yeah, pretty similar story to the Sheffield United Bristol. I'm sure you're going to hit me with the stats of Borough, but I know they've lost the last 3 games against Preston, Brentford and Villa.
They have, yeah.
So they're out of form. They're not looking good at all. I mean, Tony Pulis' team, which is built on defend, and they're conceding every week now. And it's only going to be a matter of time before they eventually drop out of the playoffs. And it doesn't look like a defence in the league that can hold off Norwich at this moment in time. Pook is on fire. Buendia is on fire. Hernandez is on fire. Again, probably maybe even 3-4-0 to Norwich with how they're playing, even with it being away at Borough. I just see it as a rout for Norwich.
Wow, I didn't expect that. Huge prediction there, 3-4-0 to Norwich, because I'm thinking, I understand what you're saying, Lewis, but I think that the international break might do Borough a bit of good. I know, like we said, they've lost 3, but I've predicted a draw in this one. I'm sitting on the fence, I know, but I'm going to go 1-1. So I'm interested to know your thoughts, Jake.
Yeah, I'm going to go 1-0 Middlesbrough. There we go. I'm going to go, no, maybe not 1-0, but I think Middlesbrough are going to win. I think 2 weeks on the training pitch for Tony Pulis, I think he's going to get them back drilled quite well. I think Norwich could be a sense of complacency, I guess, with their recent run, and everyone's sort of saying, oh, they're going up now. The pressure seems to have been taken off them, and I think they need that sort of, you know, back-to-earth reality hit, and I think it's going to come against sort of a well-organised Middlesbrough team. So, yeah, I think Middlesbrough are going to get back to winning ways. As much as I'd like to see them fall out of the playoffs, I can't see it myself. I think they'll manage to get in there somehow, and I think it's going to start with a win against Norwich to sort of drag them back into the fight of Leeds and Sheffield United. So, yeah, I'm going to go with a 1-0 or a 2-1 to Middlesbrough.
Wow, okay, so we're all predicting, one of us is going to be right in a couple of weeks. You watch the game, we'll probably be postponed now. So, yes, that'll be very, very interesting. But unfortunately, guys, with that, we're out of time. If you'd like to let our listeners know where they can find you, go ahead, and that'll be a good time.
Right, yeah, my name's Lewis. I've obviously been a Sheffield Giants supporter on this podcast. You can find me on Twitter @_LH9_.
Yeah, get me on Twitter @JakeJack with 2 N's. I was on the Premier League show on this channel a few days ago talking about Newcastle, so check that one out if you want to listen to the richer league and the less entertaining league. Go and listen to that one.
And I've been your host. You can find me on Twitter @LouisShackShaft. Please remember to follow the show @ChampionshipPod also, where you can subscribe, like, retweet the show. We post each show to our pinned tweet, so please check that out. Also, we want to thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.